What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, June 21st, 2018. And sure happy it's Thursday, sure happy it's Thursday, sure happy it's Thursday. And we've got lots to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, opinions as well. So let's get right on into it. I'm watching the news here today. And as you know, there were two immigration bills that went before Congress. One of them has already been voted down. The other one has been delayed. And these are bills that are seeking to legally implement the intent of Trump's executive order of keeping the families together at the border. But the reason the bills are not going anywhere is the Republicans and the Democrats have two different approaches to immigration, as we already know. The Republican approach to immigration is, okay, let's keep the families together and send them back home. And the Democrats, of course, want something else. They want to keep the families together and give them amnesty, let them into the country, let them move to places that are already marginally red states, and give them the right to vote. And so they're basically slugging it out in Congress, and it's a turf war between the Republicans and the Democrats. And, of course, meanwhile, the business of the American people goes ignored and neglected in the midst of all this partisan infighting. So it's rather a depressing spectacle to watch, and we're going to have a little bit more about the immigration issue further on in the show. But as usual, because this immigration issue is being fanned up by the corporate media to distract from the Inspector General report, that, of course, is where we're going to be starting our program with. Now, eight House Republicans are demanding that Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General for the Department of Justice, provide Congress with more information about these anti-Trump FBI employees mentioned in his bombshell report. There are quotes coming from them, but their names are withheld. They're called Agent 1, Agent 2, Agent 86, Agent 99. Who knows what that is all about? But they want the names, saying that the information is needed in the interest of justice and transparency, because obviously it needs to be known just where these anti-Trump FBI agents are right now. And we know that two of them who have already been identified are, in fact, part of the Mueller investigative team. And Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, prior to their embarrassment with their text messages, had also been involved in the investigation as well. So where are the others? Where are the others? Are they also on Mueller's team? Are they also out there trying to undermine a sitting American president? We need to know that. By the way, today is also the summer solstice, so longest day of the year for the Northern Hemisphere. But coming on back here, it is becoming very obvious from the IG report that Donald Trump wasn't obstructing anything. Because he had every right to fire James Comey over Comey's poor job performance. And again, given that Mueller's team has found no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, which is what he's supposed to be looking for, there was nothing to obstruct. What we've been seeing all along is a partisan railroading, a rather major one. In fact, it's a partisan bullet train, in fact. That's what's been going on for 18 months. And I have to tell you, I do wish that Donald Trump would seize the opportunity of the IG report. He's got the moral high ground right now. And unfortunately, my perception is that he has demonstrated that he is, in fact, easy to manipulate. Because apparently he doesn't seem to understand that the reason the Democrats started fanning up this whole immigration and children separation thing right now was specifically to distract from the IG report and to deny Donald Trump that political victory. And Trump seems to have gone along with it. He caved in. He signed the executive order. He sent Melania down there to the child care center, which is a good thing because it turned out to not be the concentration camp, death camp that the Democrats were saying. But he basically is letting the Democrats call the shots. He's lost the initiative. And now is the time when he should be gaining it to fight back. All right, let's talk about the war zones because there is a lot going on over there. Fighters of the Syrian Arab Army and the Tigray forces have liberated the villages of Musakya and al-Dalhafa from militant groups in northeastern Daraa. Thus, the de facto besieged militant-held area, well, they basically are cutting off the supply lines to the militant-held area. So now all they got to do is sit back and wait, and sooner or later, the lack of food, the lack of water, the lack of medicine, the lack of ammunition, they will surrender. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. So the Syrian government forces are starting to push this offensive in the southwest, and it's a very, very touchy situation. Because the U.S. has already been saying, don't you dare go into this area, because that's where we are. And that's also where the remaining ISIS and Al-Qaeda forces are, under the protection, apparently, of the United States. And, of course, Syria's response is, well, why are you there anyway? You have no right to be here. We didn't ask you to be here. You don't have our permission to be here. You don't have a United Nations Security Council resolution to be here. You don't have a declaration of war from your Congress to be here. What the heck are you doing here? And so there's been a war of words that's been building up between the two. But Syria's going on in. They want to finish up this battle against these U.S.-backed jihadi groups. But we're seeing from this article over in Zero Hedge that this battle for southwest Syria could trigger U.S. and Israeli intervention. Now, Israel's point of view, of course, is they want to keep that Golan Heights. Israel claims it is theirs. The U.S. says it's disputed. The rest of the world says it's occupied. And Israel is lobbying for the U.S. To recognize Israel's sovereignty over all that oil and gas. And apparently after the blowback from moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the U.S. government has backed off on that one. And Israel's throwing a tantrum. We want it now. We want it now. But apparently there is a concern that the U.S. will seize Syria's military operations inside Syria as a reason to intervene yet again under whatever excuse. Maybe they're going to have another false flag chemical weapon attack. Are they going to go back to saying that they're really there to fight ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which is going to be a hard sell because they're kind of like sitting next to each other and taking selfies and so forth and so on. But we know that the United States does not want to give up on Syria, first of all, because there's a pipeline right-of-way involved. They still want Bashar al-Assad out of there and a puppet ruler in. But most importantly, the United States right now, with all these wars going on all over the world, it cannot be seen to lose any of them. Or U.S. public support for the wars will evaporate and the wheels will come off the war wagon. I don't even know that there's that much support for the current wars. The U.S. is engaged officially in 7 different wars. According to Bernie Sanders, the United States is militarily engaged in 76 countries. We don't even know where the U.S. government is mucking about with other people's countries. We don't know what those 76 are. But if there's a major loss, either in Syria or Afghanistan, it's all going to start to unravel. And that's why the U.S. is going to stay in Afghanistan and stay in Syria, no matter how much of other people's money and children they have to spend to do it. Speaking of Afghanistan, the United States bombing spree in Afghanistan has reached record levels, not seen since at least 2009, according to a new report from Air Force Central Command. And the increase in attacks comes 17 years since the U.S. invaded the country in an effort to oust the Taliban from power. Now, I find it interesting that the United States is escalating the airstrikes into Afghanistan at a time when the Afghan government and the Taliban are trying to get together and have peace talks to end all of this. But as of May 2018, the U.S. had dropped 2,339 weapons from the Afghan skies since the start of the year. And May saw the deployment of 591 munitions in Operation Freedom Sentinel. Where do they come up with these names? More than any other month since October 2017. Isn't it amazing these ridiculous names they come up for these operations? It's just pure propaganda here. Russia is obviously still concerned about NATO's increasing the arming and manning of the border with Russia. And Russia is saying they're going to have to respond equally. So they got the Cold War back, because that's what it is. We're going to put people and we're going to put weapons on there, and we're going to loot our country's population for the money to do all this, because the military-industrial complex is what makes this country great. Do you know how right Eisenhower was? And this is proving it all over again. The civilian government isn't in control of the military-industrial complex. The defense contractors are. They just hand out enough money to members of Congress and presidents, and it's all going to work. You know, they'll get the contracts. They'll build all these weapons and all these companies across the United States. And because it's a Cold War, heck, it doesn't really matter if they don't really work. They just have to look impressive. You know, and we'll rig the tests so that they go through the approval process. It's a big scam. It's a big, giant scam. And back in the 50s and 60s, when I was a kid watching the first Cold War, it was impoverishing the American people. Now, back then, because of the aftermath of World War II, between Bretton Woods and the United States being a manufacturing powerhouse that marketed to the entire world, we could afford a Cold War. We can't anymore. We're not a manufacturing powerhouse. Bretton Woods is evaporating. They're literally borrowing the money to maintain this war posturing. All right, so we're back to that situation. NATO puts more tanks on the border. Russia brings up more tanks. NATO puts more troops on the border. Russia brings up more of their troops. NATO brings up more missiles. Russia brings up more missiles. And all it's going to take is one mistake to get things going. And one of the things that most Americans don't understand is how dangerously close we came to nuclear war during that first Cold War. Everybody knows about the Cuban Missile Crisis, but there were some near misses caused by accidents, by stupidity, by people overreacting. There was one case where one of the early warning radars indicated a Russian missile was flying over the pole heading for the United States, and they were on the verge of launching against that when somebody realized there had been an electronics failure. Now, we've all seen the movie War Games. That's actually based on a real story. Now, there wasn't a kid on a computer hacking into Cheyenne Mountain, but there was an instance where somebody put on a training tape to the system and ran it without announcing it was a training session. It was an oversight. It was a stupid mistake. And the people at those consoles were seeing all this information displayed indicating a Russian attack, and they're nearly launched. Do we really want to be back in that kind of a hair trigger situation? I don't think so. And it's all being done. And that risk is being taken just to make the defense contractors were rich. I keep thinking back to Eisenhower's farewell address where he talked about the military-industrial complex and to his famous Cross of Iron speech. And if you have not read that, you need to look it up online and read that speech. Eisenhower knew what war was. He'd been through it. And he became, in the end, one of our most anti-war presidents that we've ever had. as opposed to presidents and politicians who've never actually had to be in a war, and they think it's cool. It's a fun thing to do, a good way to make money, run up our stock portfolio. It's not our kids. Who cares, right? All right, there's an article that we saw today. As you know, much of America's military might, perceived military might, is based around our carrier battle force and the carrier attack groups, which consists obviously of a carrier and its screening escorts, guided missile cruisers, guided missile destroyers, dedicated sub-hunting ships, usually a submarine. It varies from carrier to carrier, but they are an awesome force out in the open water. But military analysts are now saying that if the U.S. aircraft carriers went into the Baltic Sea, they'd basically be like fish in a barrel, because the Russian high-speed anti-ship weapons can fly all the way across the Baltic Sea. There would be no way, no place for the carriers to retreat to once they were in there. And there's a lot of concern about how effective our carriers are and how vulnerable they are, and not just because of what's been happening with the Gerald R. Ford. And as I've mentioned before, history is repeating itself. When we were going into World War II, the naval doctrine was that the battleship was the mainstay of the naval fleet. That was going to control and dominate all battles. Why? Well, because that's the ship that had won World War I. And so in the years between World War I and World War II, the Navy improved on and built newer and better battleships. And yes, the aircraft carrier had kind of come along, but the Navy sort of viewed it as, well, it's kind of nice to have, but it won't be that important in World War II. Then, of course, World War II came along and proved exactly the opposite. The aircraft carriers were the main projector of power, and the battleships, while they did have a few spectacular battles, were relatively obsolete. And they were, after World War II, the ones that hadn't been sunk, were retired. They were briefly revived for, like, Vietnam and the Gulf War, but now they're sitting in museums like the one we have at the bottom of the hill. And the naval doctrine is the aircraft carrier determines the battles. Why? Well, because that's what won in World War II. But we're now talking about World War III, and we're talking about military peers with high technology who have clearly been thinking outside the box. And they're not burying vast amounts of their resources in these behemoth carriers. You know, they're going for these hypersonic ship-killing missiles. I think it was about 4 years ago, there was a little bit of an embarrassment where the Joint Chiefs called in one of the Navy's top admirals and said, what is the life expectancy of our aircraft carriers if we go to war against Russia or China? And the admiral said, it'll be about a week, maybe two if you keep them in port, which was definitely not the answer that the Joint Chiefs wanted to hear. But again, looking at the quality of the weapons, the problems they're having with the Gerald R. Ford. This is supposed to be a brand new ship, and already it's got drivetrain problems. That electromagnetic catapult system is actually cracking the tow hooks on aircraft. They can't dial that in. The supposed synchronized radar system won't synchronize. And the Navy is saying they made a mistake, too much whiz-bang on one platform, and that there are serious concerns whether it'll ever actually be ready to go into combat, because it isn't right now. It's like the F-35. It looks impressive, but it's not ready to go into combat. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And once again, if you would care to support Republic Broadcasting Network, and folks, we really do need your help. The postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you want to make a donation by credit card or if you want to become a recurring subscriber, the phone number is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. Getting on back to the war zones and getting on back to the increasing hostilities with Russia, the Russian defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, is saying that NATO has no chance to take Crimea. And as you know, there has been a lot of talk between NATO and the United States about, you know, rescuing Crimea. We've got to rescue Crimea, you know, from those evil Russians who stole it, which, of course, is not at all what happened. So let's hit the rewind button and go back one more time for those people who are really in a state of denial. When the U.S. backed a coup d'etat against Ukraine's legitimate government and brought down Yanukovych, and they put in a puppet ruler, President Chocolate Poroshenko, The people of Crimea said this is no longer a government of our choosing, and they held a referendum to secede from Ukraine, which passed overwhelmingly. And it is their right to do that under the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everybody has a right to self-determination. Then they held another referendum about rejoining or joining the Russian Republic. And that one passed overwhelmingly. And they applied to join the Russian Republic, and the Russian Republic said, certainly. Heck, we all speak the same language anyway. And that's what actually happened. But the United States and NATO are taking the position of refusing to recognize the right of the people of Crimea to vote to secede, even though, again, those NATO nations and the United States are all members of the United Nations, and they are bound by that Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But their attitude is, we do not recognize the right of the Crimean people to make such a decision. Therefore, by default, Russia has stolen Crimea, which, as I've said before, is like being at a wedding and one of the wedding guests doesn't recognize the bride's right to choose the groom. Therefore, by default, the groom has kidnapped and raped the bride. That's how the thinking goes in NATO and Washington, D.C. So there's been a lot of talk about rescuing Crimea. We have to take it back from those evil Russians who stole it. And Russia is basically sending a message saying, no, you won't. And the message is an attempt to do so will bring the United States and NATO and Russia into direct conflict. And that is really going to be tempting fate. Over in Germany, their defense minister, Ursula von der Leyen, is promising the United States there will be significant defense budget increases. As you know, one of the things that Trump is lobbying for is that the other NATO nations pick up a fairer share of funding NATO. Because right now, most of that money for NATO comes from the United States, comes from you. And so some of the other NATO nations are saying, yeah, we'll spend a little bit more. But I don't think it's going to change the reality. Most of NATO is still paid for by the United States taxpayer. And NATO is supposed to be a mutual defense organization. And yet in recent years, it has clearly been turned into the United States attack dog. Because the United States keeps attacking nations that have done no wrong to us. And that is the hallmark of an aggressor rogue state, when they make war on countries that have not attacked us. They make up convenient lies so that you'll feel okay with it, like Saddam's got nuclear weapons and Assad is using sarin gas on his own people. But the reality is, we know who the aggressor is, and it's the United States of America. Alrighty, over on Sputnik, they're quoting Russia's foreign ministry spokesman, Maria Zakharova, saying the U.S. had demonstrated a deep disregard for the United States, and not to mention double standards, by trying to ram its policy through regarding Israel and Palestine, and then when they didn't get what they wanted, pulling out from the U.N. Human Rights Council. And it's looking to the world like Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo have basically handed over control of U.S. foreign policy to Israel. Well, it's great everybody is starting to recognize that, but it's been a reality for quite some time. All right, we're going to take another break here for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the various wars going around here. And apparently the U.S. State Department has issued yet another warning to the Russian and Syrian governments regarding the operations in southwest Syria. And the United States is basically claiming that Syria is operating in a de-escalation zone negotiated between the United States, Jordan, and the Russian Federation last year. Now, there is an issue here where the de-escalation zones were intended to provide an area of safety for the civilian population. And not just as a you-can't-come-here hideout for ISIS and al-Qaeda. But that's the position the United States is taking. And I guess at this point, it's only a matter of time before we actually do see conflict between U.S. forces and Syrian forces. And inevitably, the Russians, to some extent, will get involved because Syria is using a lot of their weapons. To nobody's surprise, Benjamin Netanyahu is out there singing the praises of the United States for leaving the United Nations Human Rights Council, because after all, the UN Human Rights Council, they're just so horribly biased against Israel. They're a bunch of anti-Semitic Jew haters over there at the United Nations. That makes one foreign leader who has approved of what Trump did. And the rest, of course, are absolutely appalled. And again, the optics on this need to be fully considered. How does it look when the United States government, supposedly the mightiest nation on earth, is dancing around on Israel's puppet strings? It's a little humiliating, I think. Most Americans should be very embarrassed by the behavior of the United States government here. There's been another video that has come on out, which unfortunately is painting a very negative picture of Israel. And it has to do with how last July in 2015, there was an 18-month baby. Ali Saad Dawabash was killed in an arson attack by Jewish right-wing terrorists in the Palestinian family's home in Douma, which is a town in the West Bank. And the toddler's parents also died from their injuries within weeks of the attack. The couple had another child, 5 years old, survived, although obviously severely burned. And some of these right-wing terrorists were arrested, amazingly enough, and they were taken to court. And the family of these Palestinians, obviously following the case, were in court. And apparently the court is trying to decide whether or not the fact that these right-wing Jewish terrorists admitted doing this, in fact, seemed proud of it, is admissible as evidence. And on their way out of the courtroom, some of these ultra-right-wing protesters were chanting, where is Ali? Ali's dead. Ali's on the grill. I mean, celebrating the fact that this Palestinian baby was burned to death. And it was got on video, and it's gone viral around the globe. I think this one is probably going to supersede that video of the drunk Israeli settler, you know, screaming at the Palestinians to leave their home because God gave that land to him. But one of the family members of the assassinated family was out there saying these racist, barbaric chants indicate that these far-right protesters' natural place is a zoo. And it's kind of hard to argue about that. I mean, it's one thing to be in a conflict with somebody, but the kids should be off limit. But this Jewish terrorist group, this settler group, they just go into these Palestinian towns and they hurl firebombs into the homes to try and drive them out. And they're killing people, including little babies, apparently without one iota of shame over what they have done. All right, let's take a phone call. Terry in California. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mark, I hope I'm not getting too far off the subject, but I wanted to make a comment about some of your remarks about our coming economic collapse. And, you know, you made some comments about, you know, Soviet Union style, and then you said some things about how we want to put it back together, you know, like the first 13 amendments of the Bill of Rights and all that kind of stuff. Well, I don't think we're going to have that choice. I don't think it's going to be like Russia. I don't, there's not going to be a Putin out there waiting to come in and put it all back together. I think it's already settled. These Zionist bankers are going to bring it down, and I'm sure they got a plan to grab power as soon as that happens, and to put back the country in the plan they already have in place. I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to come back like a new nation and, you know, do it right this time, because they have, like as you said, they got control of our country, and they don't.
Yeah, but if the country collapses, if the governing structure of the country collapses, they lose control. And the American people are going to get a serious, you know, ice bucket challenge in the face. And they're going to stand up and realize, you know, we have to run this country for ourselves. And that's why our job is to start educating our fellow Americans about the evils of private central banking so that it doesn't get a chance to restart itself in our country.
Well, agreed. But I think that, you know, they already have a plan what's going to do with the finances. They're going to switch the dollar over, reset it to something else.
The dollar is going to be worthless. You're not understanding.
Now, you know,
When I say a Soviet Union-style collapse, I'm talking about it's all coming down. The economy, the value of the dollar, the governmental system, you know, we're going to be right back down to basically the United States of America and the American people and nothing else. The bankers will have no levers or handles to grab onto to control us, because that's the governing structure and that's what's going to be coming apart. And the American people are not going to be in a mood to let somebody come on in and say, let's just go back to doing the things that we were doing before, because the vast majority of Americans have been seeing their quality of life in decline for 30 years now. They're tired of just struggling just to pay the bills, and they're very, very angry. They're very angry over the fact that all of our government institutions seem to be on the side of the large corporations. They're certainly not taking care of the American people. There's a lot of anger out there. And, you know, if we have a Soviet Union-style collapse, there won't be anything for the bankers to grab. We could even see the United States balkanize. I mean, they're already talking about splitting California into three separate states. We could go back to just the individual sovereign states with no central federal government. There would be the nation of Hawaii, which we've been a nation before here. There'd be a nation of Florida, three nations of California, a nation of Texas. All of us taking care of our own business in our own way, because all of these evils that we see, whether it's war or private central banking, are achievable only when there are large imperial structures binding all these states together. That certainly was not the way it was supposed to be when this country was started. This country was started on the idea that all of these states were separate nations. They were in a loose confederation under the governance of the central federal government. It's the same scam they pulled on the European Union. But over time, both Washington, D.C. and Brussels basically arrogated more power to themselves and became more tyrannical in the process.
Well, I see your point. I'm thinking what they might try to do before that happens is say our currency is no longer in effect. But now we've got this new currency, it's a digital currency. And of course, you know, they can have a digital currency. All you have to do is come up with the ones and zeros. And whether...
Well, that's the vast majority of our currency is already ones and zeros. But I think Americans are becoming, first of all, highly suspicious of this idea of a cashless society. Second of all, just on a practical level, we're seeing so many of these digital currency systems fail. I got another email from somebody just the other day saying they'd gone down to their local store, was cash only. Because the system had broken down. We had the same thing. Claire and I went to a fast food restaurant right about the time of one of her choir rehearsals. Same thing. Machines down, cash only. People like the idea of having cash. They want what they have earned in their own pocket. And I think most people, they welcome the convenience of a plastic card, but they want some of their wealth still in their pocket, in their home, you know, buried in a mayonnaise jar out by the pineapple plantation. It gives them a feeling of security to have some of their wealth under their own direct physical control. In any event, during the coming crash, there's going to be a lot that's going to come on out about how corrupt the government and the banking system was. And I think Americans are going to turn their back on that and say, we need to go back to something that's simple. We need to go back to something that's going to work for the people.
Yeah, and I think that's why people are buying silver and gold now, because they know, you know, they're not going to be like a Venezuelan type collapse as well as a Soviet type, you know. And
it's down bad there, down in Venezuela. But Venezuela was brought down by the U.S. The U.S. has been working toward this for years.
Absolutely, absolutely. People don't realize that because they were out of the banking system, right?
Well, it's more a case of Venezuela selling their oil for currencies other than the dollar, and Venezuela setting an example of taking that oil revenue and spending it on the Venezuelan people. And so the U.S. has been trying to get in to Venezuela since the time of Hugo Chavez. In fact, they staged a coup against him, but there was a counter coup a week later that put Hugo Chavez back into power. And the U.S. hates him for that. because you're not supposed to come back from a U.S. Regime change. They hate him for selling Venezuela's oil for currencies other than the dollar. Again, they think he's setting a really bad example for the rest of the world by saying that the government's responsibility is to care for the people.
Yeah, and that's why Pat Robertson said that they should assassinate Chavez, you know, the Christian 700 Club guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't listen to him.
No, but anyway, I appreciate that. I hope you're right for a part of it. I know it's going to be very painful in the transition, and anybody that's got dollars, you know, they better get out of those and get in something else that's going to be means of exchange during the transition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about that. All right, Terry, thank you very much. Yep.
And it was nice talking to you. We'll talk to you again. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about also the Soviet-style classical. Mike, nobody listens. I mean, the people who still listen to, like, either Pat Robinson wannabes, you know, just send a check and, you know, God'll love you for it. I'll buy another, like, plane, right? Like, these people are such scam artists. You know? How people can still fall for this crap, you know, from these evangelical preachers. Like, what was the guy in Texas who didn't open the doors to help the people?
I mean, there. As I said before, good people will do good things, bad people will do bad things, and both will use religion as their excuse. There is no question there are a lot of scammers in the God biz, and I sort of had my eyes open regarding that because after I left CBS Television City, which came immediately after I told the CIA I didn't want to sabotage somebody's show for them, I went to work for a Christian television station in Orange, California, as their technical director, and they were in really sad shape because the manager of the station had gone to one of these tent revivals where the end of the world was being predicted. God is going to arrive on thus and such a day. And he actually came back to the TV station and he rededicated the station to getting the word out that the world was going to end on this day. God was going to come down and take up the faithful. Didn't run the commercials, didn't run the paid programming. The day came and God didn't show up, and the TV station was saddled with huge amounts of bills that the station manager honestly believed he was not going to have to pay. And so they were trying to get their audience back because they'd lost the audience and everything. And it was down to like a 3-hour broadcast day, which was the minimum you have to do to keep your FCC license. And I was with them for a little while, and it was a bizarre experience seeing how all of that stuff worked.
I think he already came. We all got left behind, you know?
Well, you know, great, then. There should be a lot of empty homes and, you know, ownerless cars out there for us to grab.
Hey, Mike, with the economic collapse or the collapse of the country, you know what's scary, though? The infighting we got right now, like, you know, in Washington, there's so many different factions, and then you got, like, the Blackwaters out there and stuff. I mean, if it happens here, we're going to be in some serious crap because it's going to be a free-for-all at that point, you know? That'd be a scary time, you know?
Well, it will be a very scary time, and you know all those people who are laughing at the preppers? They won't be laughing then. They really won't. And by the way, if you're a prepper, probably not a good idea to tell your neighbors about it because you're making yourself a target.
Yep. And, Mike, I got one more thing. I don't know if you heard Russia is going to be doing an ICBM test in the next 3 or 4 days.
Okay. Well, good for them.
Okay. And that's all I got. Have a good show.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open again here. Now, Israel is still trying to deal with this public relations disaster coming out of Bloody Monday. And one of the areas where the world's condemnation is focused on was this baby who was killed by Israeli tear gas. And Israel originally tried to come on out and say, well, it's the mother's fault. What is she bringing a baby to the protest area for? Then it turned out, actually, the mother had gotten on the wrong bus and was just there and was nowhere near the fence, not even at the protest, but the tear gas hit her. So Israel is trying to get away from that one, and they've arrested a family member for terrorism. And somehow or other, he decided he was going to claim that the baby actually died from a fatal blood condition that runs in the family. She just happened to coincidentally die just as the tear gas hit her. Talk about a Bex alert. We'll be right back.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
What's really and aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go back to the phones. Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. And what's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just got a kick out of your call with Terry and talking about the evangelists and I just wanted to recount a couple. I always have found great humor in these guys. And there was, without mentioning names, there were two of the scams that hit me the best were, there was a guy that was out here in Upland, California, that was saying back in the 80s that if you sent him, he was collecting money because he wanted to float Bibles behind the Iron Curtain on helium balloons. That was his scam. And there was one more guy that was really great that was said if you sent him $10 or more, he would send you back a consecrated dime. Now, I'm not a prophet. I know there's a lot of prop in that transaction. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! It's a shame I have a sense of morals, or I probably could have done very well in that business. I'm actually ordained in the state of California, which a lot of people find amazing. But that goes back to when I was in college, and I had to take some courses outside my major. So I took a journalism course, and one of the stories they assigned to me, this was during the Vietnam War, they sent me to interview this pastor of a church who was ordaining young men of military age so that they had a deferment for the draft. I mean, anyway, it was hundreds and hundreds were going through this, and I didn't need it because I already had an occupational deferment. But just to illustrate the story, he ordained me. And we wrote the story, and on the last day of class, I did communion with really cheap wine and cookies, you know, body of Christ with chocolate chip, body of Christ with chocolate chip. You're a sinner, you get an oatmeal cookie, and so forth and so on. But I've never used the ordination, obviously, but it's just one of those quirky little things that happens to people. But again, there are good people who are following their religion, and there are bad people who exploit and use religion. I'm trying to remember the name of that guy who said that if his viewers didn't send him some huge sum of money by the end of the month, God was going to call him home.
Yeah, it was Earl Roberts when he went up in the tower and didn't want to come down until somebody raised $5 million. I think he raised $5 million.
What a scam. What an absolute scam. And you're right. You have to wonder about people who are so enslaved by their belief system that they just go along with this. And he's just taking away from people who are, in all probability, already disadvantaged. And they don't really have it to give. Anyway.
Hey, Mike, there's one more thing I wanted to bring up. There's people out there want to Google this. There's a strategic theory that was put out by a guy like around 1900, a British guy.
Peter, we're going to have to take a quick break for station identification. Stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.